The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times and the News and Observer. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. And today on Armchair Traveler, we're going to head to the 49th state, where, if you're looking for a real taste of Alaska, try a food truck. That's the headline for Elaine Glusak's article. It appeared in the July 18th, 2023 issue of the New York Times. And there's a caption that goes with it with a photo. Pop-ups, trailers, carts, and trucks serve rockfish tacos, halibut, ceviche, and more at affordable prices on a homegrown coastal culinary trail. So we're going to take a look at that trail a little closely. Now the main article. Last summer, on an overcast July day, the coastal town of Sitka, once the capital of Russian Alaska, and long a popular stop on Inside Passage cruises in southeast Alaska, was thronged with passengers disembarking from three cruise ships. To accommodate the crowds, the city had closed the main street to cars. In their place, food trucks, carts, and stands had popped up, creating a festival atmosphere where ambulatory diners spooned seafood chowder and gobbled tacos. In summer, street food seems like the way to go in a place like this, says Gretchen Seltzenmuller, who cooked professionally in San Francisco before moving back home to Sitka during the pandemic and opening her mobile food business, Inaki Eatery, which serves Japanese-inspired comfort food. It's healthy and uniquely celebrates Alaska ingredients, but you can also roll in and grab a bite and still do your tour, she said. In the wake of the pandemic, as cruising returns to full strength in Alaska, food trucks and other vendors have proliferated in ports from Ketchikan to Seward. With a food truck, you can get into the restaurant business without the full brick-and-mortar entrepreneurial costs, said John Bittner, the state director of Alaska Small Business Development Center. That's pretty attractive in smaller communities that service cruise ships. And as we go along, we're going to have several photographs, and so we're going to be reading some captions where they apply. In this next one, we have a photo caption, and it reads, "White umbrellas cover small tables near blue-roofed food trucks and stands in an outdoor lot near a cruise terminal in Juneau." Now, in the background is a huge white cruise ship that towers over the low, nondescript buildings and streets, and beyond the ship are dark hills beneath a sky filled with low clouds. Now back to the article. For passengers with only a few hours in port and lots of the sea, including ferry riders taking the Alaska Marine Highway, food trucks offer local fare at relatively reasonable prices and in less time than full-service restaurants. Food trucks are a natural extension of what draws people to Alaska being outside, said Aaron Saunders, the senior editor at Cruise Critic. Expect to pay a little more than in the lower 48, given the high cost of living. Last summer, I bought a chicken and rice dish for $16 from a stand in Seward. That's a few dollars more and a free can of Pepsi less than the equivalent truck fare in New York City. For the 2023 cruise season, which generally runs April to October, Alaska cruise authorities expect 1.65 million cruise passengers, up from the record 1.3 million in 2019. Most will sail inside the passage, a roughly 500-mile route in southeast Alaska that weaves through islands, protecting it from the churn of the Pacific Ocean. Now, while shipbound visitors may make their way through Anchorage, which has its own thriving food truck scene, the following popular cruise stops form a locally grown coastal culinary trail. Now, in Ketchikan, we have shrimp and grits and fried chicken sandwiches, often the first call in Alaska for northbound Inside Passage cruises. Ketchikan, a traditional Tlingit fishing camp that today thrives on tourism, commercial fishing and forestry booms with the arrival of cruise ships. Passengers disembarking for day trips into the Tongass National Forest or to see the totem poles at Saxman Native Village will find a few food stalls among the vendor booths on the cruise dock, including Dee's Fish and Chip Shack, while more robust food truck offerings can be found within walking distance. Now, if you want to see someone make out with a chicken sandwich, come by our truck sometime, wrote Tane Peterson. He's the owner of the food truck Chicky Chicky Bang Bang, which specializes in, you guess it, chicken sandwiches. $12, by the way, in an email. He described diners with eyes closed, groaning, mumbling, "Oh, my God." Well, the truck, which launched last year, can often be found near the cruise docks and passengers, Mr. Peterson said, and account for about two-thirds of annual sales. A few blocks from the cruise berths, Amber Adams aims to open the town's first food truck lot, Dock Street Yard, in August, with room for three vendors. Now, after moving to Ketchikan from New Orleans just 4 years ago, Ms. Adams found herself cooking Creole dishes with Alaskan ingredients as both a reminder of home and a necessity in a small town with few dining options. Currently, the only tenant on the lot, her business, the food truck will serve shrimp and grits for $15 and a ribeye banh mi po' boy for $18. Starting a restaurant is scary, Miss Adams said in a break from prepping her truck, but it's a different beast around here because of the huge influx of people for 6 months that basically doubles the population in town. Now we come to a yet another photograph, and it reads, on the side of a white trailer parked in a gravel lot is a takeout window and a turquoise-painted circle within which are written these words, Inaki Eatery. Now outside the truck, a man in blue jeans and windbreaker holds the leash of a large white and beige husky dog. Another client, a woman holding a small baby, stands nearby. Now we move on to Sitka and smoked salmon mashibi and seafood chowder. In the high season, disembarking passengers can match Sitka's population of about 8,500. Again this year, the city is restricting the main thoroughfare, Lincoln Street, to foot traffic on days when cruise ship capacity in port exceeds 5,000, inviting mobile businesses to set up. I think it's a really great way to showcase all the talent in this town, said Ms. Sultzenmuller, who launched Inaki Eatery last year as a Lincoln Street pop-up serving variations of Hawaiian-style mashibi, a wedge of rice topped with spam or fish and bound by a seaweed wrap. Street food should be a reason to come here, she said. This year, she purchased a food truck and parked it downtown. The vehicle has allowed her to expand the menu, which may include steamed buns stuffed with pork or salmon and cream cheese. That's for $9. And smoked salmon mashibi is $8.50. Now, here, the editors have a little bit of a disclaimer here. And they write, just off Lincoln Street behind Ernie's old-time saloon, Barbara Palacio serves poke and chowder and ceviche from her cart, the fresh fish. And then we have a disclaimer that says, Times Travel Reporters. Now, when our writers review a destination, they're talking about the New York Times writers, they do not accept free or discounted services or, in most cases, reveal that they work for the Times. We want their experience to be what you can expect. And now we continue with the article. We're having a food truck boom here in Sitka, said Ms. Palacios, who plans to upgrade her vehicle later this year to a full-size food truck and continue offering poke, tuna or salmon for $18, and halibut ceviche $14, and seafood chowder starts at $9 a cup, $14 a bowl. It's a labor of passion and love, says Ms. Palacios, who often works 12 hours a day in season. A few blocks east, past the Russian Orthodox St. Michael's Cathedral, Ashley McNamee runs Ashmo's, serving locally caught fish and smoked salmon macaroni and cheese for $9, black cod on coconut rice for $10, and ling cod, sandwiches for $12. Now, like many food truck operators here, Miss McNamee, whose resume includes 14 years cooking at an Alaskan fishing lodge, chose the food truck over the restaurant grind. Still, she added, with the influx of people off cruise ships, it's almost all I can do to keep up. From the center of town, it's a little over a mile to Harbor Mountain Brewing Company, where Cambria Goodwin and Luke Bruckert based their brick-and-mortar Campfire Kitchen, a wood oven pizza specialist. This year, they've added a mobile kitchen at the site to prepare fried chicken sandwiches for $15 and fried cheese curds for $9 to keep up with the crush of business. Now, in a separate endeavor, Ms. Goodwin recently opened Sitka Salmon Wagon, serving salmon bisque at $10 a cup, $16 a bowl, from a trailer park downtown to feed the masses, she said. Well, the weather can be a challenge to outdoor dining in southeast Alaska's temperate rainforest. After 1 year running Bloomin' Dog's hot dog cart, Sean Blumenshine is adding a food truck and will operate in several locations, serving Nathan's Famous Franks for $7 and creative versions $11, including the Bond Me Dog with Carrots, Cabbage, Jalapenos, Vinaigrette, and Sweet Chili Sauce. Ooh. To date, patrons are largely local, he said. I've got hardcore Bond Me friends all around, said Mr. Blumenshine. Well, now, let's move on from Sitka and go to Juneau, where fish tacos and potato pizza await. The state capital, Juneau, is no stranger to food carts and trucks. Trailblazers in town include Bernadette's, a Filipino barbecue cart started in 1996 that draws lines of visiting cruise ship crew members, many of whom are Filipino, and Pucker Wilson's, opened 9 years ago and dishing two-fisted burgers like the Husky Dawson topped with bacon, onion rings, and cheese, all for $16. And we have yet another photo, and the caption reads, "The bed of a blue and white pickup truck holds a big oval sign depicting an old white bearded man in a white hat on a purple background. On the back of this truck, Pucker Wilson's are printed." Now, this truck is parked in a small stretch of dirt. In the background are tree-covered hills, some of the traces of snow, and beside the truck is a white sign that says exit. Now, the article. Visitors looking for Alaskan seafood on the go will find it a few blocks from the cruise pier at Deckhand Dave's, a fish taco purveyor that anchors a food truck yard. Now, the truck and yard are run by Dave McCaslin, a self-taught chef who worked for 2 years as a cook on a commercial fishing boat to pay off his college loans before launching his truck in 2016 with items like blackened rockfish tacos for $13.50. That's for three of those tacos. Now, in 2019, he developed the food truck lot with room for original businesses, a spinoff oyster and champagne bar, and other mobile tenants, and today includes the Alaskan Crepe Escape, and a cotton candy maker. And yet another photo caption awaits us. Here's a child of about 6 or 7 taking a big bite from a gigantic crepe wrapped in a napkin and stuffed with various fillings. Now, she's wearing an aqua puffy jacket and has one hand on a comic book on a table. In the blurred background is a wooden barrel with a table on top of it and people sitting in chairs. Back to our article. People travel for a taste of place, and when they come to Alaska, they really want to eat seafood and eat local, said Midgie Moore, who runs Juneau Food Tours, guiding visitors to places like Deckhand Dave's. 5 miles from downtown, in the direction of the Mendenhall Glacier, the Alaskan Brewing Company tasting room hosts food trucks, including Forno Rosso, serving wood-fired Neapolitan-style pizzas, going from $13 to $17 for 10-inch pies. Before moving to Juneau, the truck's owners, Alexander and Kim Karteloff, or Karteloff, lived in Rome, where they developed a passion for pizza that led to the mobile business and named for their red-tiled oven. Now, if visitors find an out-of-the-way Forno Rosso, they tend to be independent travelers or craft beer fans, according to Mrs. Karteloff, who uses specialty flour, San Marzano tomatoes from California, and locally grown Genovese basil. I feel like we're swimming upstream with our agenda of caring about quality and staying true to the Italian thing, Ms. Karteloff said, noting that she continues to offer Italian potato pizza as a special periodically. And that's going to bring us to yet another photo caption. This one, a line of customers is seen outside a takeout window of a food truck. It's parked perhaps permanently against a backdrop of high, misty mountains. The truck is paneled in blue container metal, and beside the truck is a short fake palm tree. On the side of the truck is a sign that shows a blue fishing boat with the superimposed words Deckhand Dave's Fish Tacos. Now we go on to Seward, reindeer hot dogs, and Berea plates. Now our port on the Kenai Peninsula, roughly 130 miles south of Anchorage, Seward tends to get cruise ships at the start or end of their itineraries. On the road system, it also draws travelers by land. Now they disembark and embark in Seward, said Cameron Weathers, the owner of Wild Spoon Food Truck and Catering Company. We're not a stop, she says. Well, still, ship crew and road trippers patronize her stand to souped-up reindeer or buffalo dogs, topped with kimchi and ginger aioli for $10, and venison specials. In the summer 2020, despite the collapse of tourism during the pandemic, Faith Alderman and Fiona Crosby launched their breakfast and lunch business, the Porthole, to capture the early morning traffic at Seward Harbor, with breakfast burritos for $12 and English muffin sandwiches for $8. Open at 4:30 a.m., the business draws captains, deckhands, and visitors taking boat trips to the nearby Kenai Fjords National Park. Now, Seward travelers bound for Alaska's Sea Life Center, an aquarium and marine research center on the Resurrection Bay, can't miss Los Canchitos, a busy Mexican food truck that anchors at nearby lots, shared by Early Bird Coffee Truck and an axe throwing business. It specializes in birria or beef brisket tacos for $17, among other fare. Now, Peter Carvaretta, who spent more than a decade in the southern Baja Peninsula, opened the truck last April after visiting his sister in Seward. He says, I saw the lines out the door for semi-average fruit at high prices, he said, so I wanted to do super good food at moderate prices. What a trip that is to Alaska, huh? Wow. Well, from Alaska's food trail, we're going to head southeast. We're drifting down a river into Darien. A Georgia getaway awaits. Marianne Anderson's article, written for the Tribune News Service, and it appeared in the May 21st, 2023 online edition of the News and Observer. Driving north in the Darien on U.S. Highway 17, I pass over a long bridge that crosses the Darien River, an offshoot of the Altamaha River, considered Georgia's wildest and most beautiful. To the right, clustered shrimp boats bob slightly in shimmery water as if they were curtsy, their riggings capturing the filtered light of that spring day. With dappled clouds in the background, the picturesque scenery is striking. Darien, at its heart, a fishing village, is on the more southerly end of the long quarter-moon crescent of Georgia coast that curves inland from Savannah to St. Mary's. Surrounded by wide swaths of saltwater marsh, in season either as golden as Midas touch or as the pale green as seafoam, the prairies unfurl into Altamaha Sound with long fingers of spartina grass rippling in endless waves. The marsh is a secret garden, a labyrinth of water, mud, and peat continually ebbing and flowing and camouflaging a hidden world of terrestrial and marine creatures of herons and wood storks, crabs and shrimp, alligators and otters. The town proper of Darien, threaded with mighty oaks drizzled with Spanish moss, is the alpha and omega of the Altamaha River, the first community on its journey inland from the Atlantic, and the last before it fans out to where the Altamaha Sound laps gently against the ocean. U.S. Highway 17, the old coastal highway that's a throwback to romantic road trips, slices through Darien before it runs north to Virginia and southward to Florida's Gulf Coast. Textured with an amazing depth of history, mesmerizing unspoiled nature, and local seafood restaurants, Darien gives you an authentic taste of saltwater with fresh oysters, fish, and its most famous denizen, Georgia wild shrimp. The shrimp flourishes in the warm waters of the Sound, soaking in the nutrients of the rich spartina grass. Related to sugarcane and a primary reason for crustaceans so plump and sweet, you won't need to walk far in Darien to find shrimp fried, broiled, or boiled. The Guali Indians were here first and then the Spanish in the 1560s. The Spanish built missions along the coast, but only a smattering of colonists and missionaries settled before the British took a foothold in the Georgia soil. Nearly three centuries ago, Scottish Highlanders, under the leadership of General James Oglethorpe, the British general credited with establishing Georgia, meandered down the coast from Savannah to establish a port city. Darien eventually became the second oldest planned city in Georgia after Savannah, with its grid-like streets azalea-lined and shaded, neatly laid out in squares. The disarming charm of Darien cast a long spell. Darien, beautiful and quiet, has a nice small-town feel as no factories or big businesses exist here. While it once was a thriving port and financial hub, its buildings date only from the Civil War, as the town with its wonderful old colonial architecture was burned in 1863 by Union troops. Today, Darien, with its population of about 1,500, not only pays homage to its seafaring past, but also caters to visitors who come for history, natural beauty, shrimp, and shopping in its eclectic tiny downtown, which included Sugar Marsh Cottage specialty confections for artisan chocolates, Vintage Wildflowers Boutique for clothing, and Waterfront Wine and Gourmet for a taste of Georgia and international wines. Most folks, when they think of Georgia Eats, think of fried chicken, pork chops, and grits. You can certainly get that and more at a wildly popular Sweet Tea's Log Cabin restaurant or B&J's Steaks and Seafood. Now, Sweet Tea's buffet usually includes meats and vegetables, but also extras like deviled crab or fried fish, and at B&J's, also primarily a buffet, you can order off the menu Georgia wild shrimp and other bounties of the sea. Both Skipper's Fish Camp on the Darien River and the Mudcat Charlie's overlooking the Altamaha River are casual yet a little more upscale and offer indoor and outdoor dining with a selection of cocktails. Local favorites are the shrimp, of course, plus crab, flounder, and oysters. If you're game, go for the Gator Tail at Mudcat Charlie's with its taste, a mashup of chicken and fish. For the quintessential coastal dish of rich, creamy shrimp and grits, I recommend the Oaks Club at the Oaks on the River, a small boutique hotel on the Darien River. It's the newest addition to the Darien skyline and is the city's tallest building, commanding three stories. It is posh by Darien standards, with upholstered chairs and stunning views of the marsh. The shrimp gumbo and the catch of the day are also excellent choices. The showpiece cedar bar adjacent to the restaurant is carved from one single cedar tree from nearby Harris Neck Island. While you're likely to love Darien, it doesn't take long to see all, given that it's so diminutive, so plan for a few days to explore nearby gems as well. Start with a pedestrian-friendly self-guided walking tour of the town. Pick up a map at the Darien McIntosh County Visitor Center and then hit the bricks. Along the way, amble along the waterfront dotted with tabby ruins. Tabby is so-called coastal concrete, made of lime, oyster shells, and water, and before visiting nearly two dozen points of interest, each marked with a plaque, including the First African Baptist Church, the 1836 St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, the Old City Cemetery dating to 1736, and the Grant House, the only residence to survive the 1863 destruction by federal troops. And I might point out here, I travel to Georgia quite frequently, as one of my children lives there, and I've been to some of these small towns, and most of them do have visitor centers, and most of them offer some really exciting tours to see some interesting things, so that just seems to be something they enjoy doing down in these small towns in Georgia. Back to our article. Round out the history tour here with a stop at Fort King George, established in 1721. It was the first English settlement in Georgia before Scottish Highlanders took it over in 1736. Scattered on the site is a museum and replicas of the blockhouse and barracks. Now, the Oaks on the River partners with Georgia Tidewater Outfitters, or you can book your own for cruises aboard the Delta Belle. That's a 30-foot custom catamaran. Options include a wine and tour with wines from Waterfront Wine and Gourmet, nature tours of the Altamaha River Sound, or private charters that take you to remote beaches, far stretches of the Sound, or excellent birding sites. Now, the painted bunting and roseate spoonbill are among the coast's most vibrantly hued feathered creatures. Also, take a tour of the Captain Gabby, a 42-foot hand-built wooden trawler with room for up to six guests. The tours can last a few hours or even overnight. The experiences are personalized, including kayaking, paddleboarding, fishing, birding, and photography, and give you a chance to get close with nature in the swirls of creeks and marshes around the Sound. Within a few minutes' drive of Darien are Ashantilly Plantation, and built about 1820 by coastal planter Thomas Spalding. Butler Island Plantation, dating to the late 1700s, and initially owned by Revolutionary War Major Pierce Butler. And then we have Hoffwill Broadfield Plantation, a former rice plantation that's now a state park. Tours of Ashantilly open only during events, and they can still be arranged by calling the home, while Butler Island can be explored by foot or car. Hoffwill Broadfield is open for regular hours. Sapelo Island, one of the pearls in the necklace of barrier islands that speckle Georgia's coast, is but 6 miles from Darien. State-protected island probably hasn't changed much in 1,000 years. The deeply forested island is still unspoiled and uncrowded, with mazes of mostly unpaved roads, and remains the home of one of the last gullah communities along the coast. Get to Sapelo only by ferry or private watercraft. Now, Harris Neck National Wildlife Refuge is about a half-hour's drive north of Darien. It was once a rice and cotton plantation and later Harris Neck Army Air Base. Here, hundreds of once-endangered wood stork come to build their nest and raise their young. Some 350 species of birds visit seasonally, and at the height of its population, the refuge transforms into a chaotic orchestra of avian song. Cradled by the high bluffs of the Darien River and freckled with ancient oaks, the Oaks on the River, with 53 rooms, is the talk of the town at the moment, having just opened in November, and that would have been 2022. It's luxuriously appointed within hardwood floors, pretty rugs, and a waterfront pool. The resort spa, though small, offers locally themed treatments, including the Ashantilly facial and Sapelo massage. If waking to the aroma of freshly ground coffee brewing entices you, stay at the Open Gates Bed and Breakfast on Vernon Square in the heart of Darien. Shaded by oaks and magnolias, the 5-bedroom Italianate Inn, beachy, colorful, and airy, was built in 1876 and is filled with antiques. A full breakfast is included with southern goodies like biscuits, waffles, and the Darien Shrimp Delight, a panko-encrusted shrimp cake similar to Eggs Benedict. The cozy and romantic Darien Dockside Inn, also in downtown, has 6 individually decorated rooms and suites, all featuring views of the river and marsh. It is housed in a tabby building more than 100 years old. Nearby, Darien Waterfront Inn offers a welcome cocktail, full breakfast, and use of bicycles, plus a 2-bedroom cottage or a riverfront condominium for rent. And within a 2-night stay on Tuesday and Wednesday, guests are provided a free tour of Sapelo Island. Now, every place evolves, but at different speeds. Darien, looking much the same as it did when I first saw it decades ago when I drove over that same bridge, does it more slowly and eloquently. If there is a bigger picture for Darien down the road, the town, respectful of its storied past, isn't in a hurry to get to its future. What a trip that was down Georgia Way. And real quickly here, this is Anna Roman's article from the News and Observer. This would have been June 23rd, 2024. The troll art is coming to Raleigh's Dix Park. Hector El Protecto, a giant troll made from junkyard pallets, holds a lantern along the shore to ward off hurricanes that would seek to damage the Puerto Rican island of Culebra. Now, Old Wise Wu received his name from a local volunteer who helped pick the scrap wood to build the troll, who plays a melody on a whistling flute in the Pyongyang Botanical Garden in South Korea. And he's one of 5 mountain trolls. And the trolls are the work of international artist Thomas Bambo, and he's bringing 2 new ones to Dorothea Dix Park in Raleigh. So if you get by the park, take a look at the trolls and more. Well, that, my friends, is going to bring us to the end of today's journey on Armchair Traveler. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be with us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and I remind you the content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Questions and comments may be directed to 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.